You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, for the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, here with you all on Wednesday, game day here in the Crescent City, as the Pelicans are going to be taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves. I'm going to be previewing that game for you guys towards the end of the podcast. And before that, doing kind of a variety of different topics. Going to be talking about Terrence Jones, maybe looking at what the Clippers might have to trade for to try and pick them apart with the news that Blake Griffin's going to be out for 2 months. I think it's a knee injury. What is going on still with the Grizzlies? Are they going to be kind of blowing it up for a rebuild? I'm going to talk about that as well. So a lot to cover in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So with the Pelicans having 2 days off before we jump back into the game tonight, again, taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves here in the Smoothie King Center in what should be a pretty fun game, and hopefully the Pelicans can get some revenge for their loss earlier in the year, but we'll save that for the preview here. I did ask for anyone who wanted to send in some mailbag questions, and I kind of answered one of them yesterday when we were talking about players, the type of player that the Pelicans might want to go after. But a couple other ones have come through that I think are worth talking about specifically. And one of them is, what are the this comes from Solomon H20, and he says, what are the chances the Pels re-sign Terrence Jones? And Jones, if you're not aware, was, I think, playing over in China or somewhere overseas. I'm not entirely sure where. And signed a pretty big deal over there, only to have it kind of his contract ended, rescinded, bought out, or just canceled. I'm not entirely sure what, recently, over the past couple of week or two here, really. And he is now an unrestricted free agent, able to sign with any NBA team. And with the Pelicans needing a backup big, and the pretty strong season he had for the Pelicans before he was let go last season, it makes sense that people might be asking for him to come back to the Pelicans. And to get ahead of it, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's not going to happen. Don't forget, his agent is the same agent for DeMarcus Cousins. They let him go so that he could go look for a place to play significant minutes. Even the Pelicans' backup big, whoever they end up trading for, let's say that's the position they're going to go after, isn't going to get a ton of minutes here in New Orleans. You know, when you really think about it, that guy's going to be playing 15, 20 minutes a game at the most. And Terrence Jones, who's trying to maybe earn some money, get a starting position somewhere, you know, play on a one-year deal to then bank on himself and get a bigger contract like he did with the Pelicans last season, isn't going to really work in just 15 to 20 minutes on the high end a game. So I think that's kind of the issue there, why he wouldn't do it. There's other reasons that we can't really go into here, but let's just say he's not coming back. If you guys can kind of read between the lines here a little bit, he's not coming back. That's kind of the situation. It makes a lot of sense, but unfortunately just not going to happen. Another player got asked about, and this comes from Andrew Dinene. I'm going to like botch a bunch of these names here, but it's at Andrew, A-N-D-R-E-W-D-E-N-E-N-E-A on Twitter, and he asks, Gallinari seems like a stretch, but with the Clippers imploding, is he a possibility? Or if you could trade for rotation pieces from the Clips or Grizz, what players do you target? This is an interesting situation for both of these teams because, you know, in theory, it makes sense that, yeah, both these teams should just kind of try and blow it up and figure out their situation. Memphis, not so much, and I talked about it yesterday on the pod. They're not going to rebuild because, frankly, you're not going to get a lot in return for Conley and or Marc Gasol. You might not even get first-round picks, potentially. And then you're going to take on weird salaries to kind of make that happen, which can be okay because you're trying to tank. So if you take back bad players on bad salaries, that's almost perfect. But the situation there is they're still on the hook with Chandler Parsons for 20-something million. They're not going to blow it up, frankly, just because they'd still be capped out with their situation. So I don't think it's really worth looking at their roster a ton to see if there's anyone you want to try and get. And frankly, the only guy I think I would really like would be Jamichael Green, but I don't think he, of all of their guys, would be on the block at all. So I don't think, you know, there's really anyone there. The Clippers are a bit of a different story because I do think they should blow it up. They've got DeAndre Jordan, who had signed a Supermax deal, who's an expiring. And now, with Patrick Beverley out for the season and Theodosic out for a while, they're kind of lacking in the guard area and starting, or should be starting, Lou Williams in that sense. And then you've got Blake, who's out for 2 months on a Supermax that he just signed. And you've got Gallinari, that you kind of did that signing trade for, who signed for 3 years, making 20-plus million a season. He's making 20.5. I like the idea of Gallinari. I don't know how the Pelicans are going to match the 20.5 million he's making. You could do something with, say, Oshik, and then Etuan Moore and maybe Ajinsa, something like that. And you'd probably need to include at least 2 first-round picks, if not other picks, to try and make it happen. I think they'd get better offers than that for Gallinari. Though, you know, frankly, they're more interested in the picks, but those picks aren't going to be that good. The reason I like Gallinari more than anything here is because this guy can get to the free throw line, and he's shown it in his career. For his career, he averages 5.7 attempts per game. 2-3 seasons ago in Denver, he was getting to the line over 8 times a game. He knows how to get to the line. He can, you know, shoot enough from 3 to keep teams honest. You respect him from out there. Rebounding, not the best. So you got to wonder if that's what the route the Pelicans want to go when they do need some rebounding next to Cousins in those type of lineups. But he can shoot and he can get to the free throw line, so he's taking advantage of the team getting into the bonus early from Davis and Cousins. I think that's a big fit there. I think I like that a lot. The problem is I just don't see how they're going to match the salaries to make that work. So before moving on to 2 things that are slightly off topic, fantasy sports fans, listen up. Did you know that your chances of winning on draft.com and the PlayDraft app are 80% better than on salary cap sites? That's why Draft is my favorite fantasy site. No more getting crushed by the pros, no more losing to people with inside information and all of those scandal-driven things. And it's not just me who's enjoying this app and this site. More than 1 million people have already downloaded the Draft app as well. Play in a real live NBA draft right now, be done in under 5 minutes, and get paid out the next day. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join one whenever you want. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code LOPELICANS. That's right, play in a real money draft for free just by using my promo code LOPELICANS. But it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Pelicans listeners a money-back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play for free right now with the promo code LOPELICANS. The reason I bring them up, and I brought them up a couple of times, is I don't like those daily fantasy sites with a salary cap where you draft a player. I've said it before. You draft Anthony Davis, your favorite player. Of course you want him on your team. He's going to have a good night against the Timberwolves tomorrow because he's Anthony freaking Davis. Well, there's probably about 10,000 other people, that might be lowballing the number, who are doing the exact same thing. So you need to find diamonds in the rough. You need to kind of dive into spreadsheets and inside information that most people just don't have. Shoot, I cover this team and I don't have this kind of insight all the time and looking at the stats and knowing who's going to have a breakout performance. You need anything that can give you an edge there. Just do it through draft.com in the PlayDraft app instead. You draft Davis in the snake draft, he's yours. No one else gets him. You reap the benefits. So make sure you download the app today and use my promo code LOPELICANS. So there was some news today that's tangentially related to basketball in New Orleans. I guess it's not tangentially related to that. It might be tangential to the Pelicans, but I want to talk about it because it's kind of one of those things I think is kind of cool, maybe a little bit, that most Pelicans fans, at least the younger ones, may not know. And this was that former Hornets, then Hornets, head coach Tim Floyd retired today. And he's kind of a bit of a, when you really look at his career and look at the history of basketball here in New Orleans, and look, I'm not an expert on the history of basketball in New Orleans whatsoever, but I do know the impact that Tim Floyd had here at multiple different levels. He really, here in New Orleans, so it's cool that he's from Mississippi originally, played at Louisiana Tech, I believe. And then eventually just kind of through his coaching career, worked his way up and became the head coach at the University of New Orleans and spent six seasons there as head coach. And he finished with a final record of 127-58. So very, very good. UNO played in postseason play five times, two NCAA tournament appearances in 91 and 93, and then in the NIT three times, which for a school that doesn't exactly have a ton of history when it comes to being good in basketball and things like that. You know, they're not really one of the small schools you think of that can make some noise or really make the tournament up until really, again, last season when they kind of broke out a little bit and made it over some other big name schools. So that's pretty impressive. He averaged 21 wins a season there, which is, again, very, very impressive and pretty cool. And it was interesting because, like I said, the just not a big basketball place. Eventually, he was also the head coach of the New Orleans Hornets in the 03-04 season. They posted a 500 record, 41-41. And this is back when the then New Orleans franchise was in the East and lost in the first round of the playoffs to the Miami Heat, after which he was fired. While he's got a very nice, you know, coaching record in college overall in the NBA, not too great. And he said as much, saying he wasn't very good at it when it comes to an NBA coach. Some guys are just better suited for college. I think we've seen that in when it comes to the NFL and football a little bit more. But Tim Floyd did retire today. Again, just a name just to kind of keep in mind. This is a guy who had a big impact on basketball in the city of New Orleans. So not, you know, related exactly to the Pelicans here, but still tangential enough and worth mentioning. So I'm sure he's going to have some, you know, nice time just relaxing in retirement. So I talked about it yesterday, but there's still a lot of fallout coming from the Memphis Grizzlies firing head coach David Fizdale. So make sure you check out the Locked On NBA podcast and the Locked On Grizzlies podcast to learn more about it. This is a team in the Pelicans division. This is going to have some ripple effects here in New Orleans. You want to know what's going on with it, so make sure you listen to those two podcasts. So it is game day here in the Crescent City as the Pelicans take on the Minnesota Timberwolves for the second time at home after they met earlier in the year in a game that the Timberwolves won 104-98, and I think we probably had an angry cast the day after. You'll recall that game, Karl Anthony Towns had a total of 2 points in the game, a career low for that team's best player, and the Pelicans still weren't able to win, despite Cousins going off for 35 points and Anthony Davis going off for 24 as well, with Drew Holiday chipping in 14 points. What went on? Like, when you kind of look at the box score for this game, and I pulled it up to refresh myself here, first glance, you have no idea how this Pelicans team lost this game. Again, you hold Towns to 2 freaking points. And then you only let Minnesota Timberwolves shoot 27.3% from three. That'd be the way you'd think they won that game, right? Not at all. The Pelicans did what they wanted to defensively. There are a couple guys out there that kind of scored a little more than you would have wanted. But for the most part, if you hold Towns to 2 points and that team under 30% from three, you should be winning this one. But the Pelicans weren't able to. And a lot of that was shooting themselves in the foot, a lot of turnovers in there, hurting their offensive rating. So going into tonight, I feel better about this game because really the reason the Pelicans lost that game was frankly that their bench let them down. Let me pull it up because I just changed from it. But when you look at bench points in that game, the Pelicans had 17 total bench points. Minnesota had 45. The Pelicans bench, mainly kind of being buoyed up right now by Darius Miller, is playing better and you should be able to get more than 17 points. Though in the loss to the Warriors, they put up a total of 10. So who really knows? They need the bench to step up here. Minnesota has a number of guys who can go out and score on you, as we saw in the previous game here in New Orleans, where they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys in double figures, while the Pelicans had 4, one of them being Tony Allen, who just hit 10 points. But Jamal Crawford can get out there and score with the best of them still at times. You've got Belgisa, who put up 12 against there in backup minutes. Diang, who put up 12 in backup minutes. They'll punish the Pelicans. This is where you kind of would like to have a better backup big to throw out there. Though Dante Cunningham's out on the bench now. Maybe we'll see if he can step up here, because frankly, this team is very Tom Thibodeau-esque, where they just want to play inside and pound you in the paint. And you got to try and take that away from them, meaning those times when one of the bigs are out there, Davis or Cousins, they need to find a way to force this team to being a jump shooting team. But since the Pelicans bench has been playing better, they're getting some more offensive rhythm with Rondo back in, though that's been a little bit slow at times for him. The team's playing better. I think we can all see that, and I think they can. This is a winnable game. And frankly, if they want to keep this run going and try and make the playoffs, you've got to beat teams like Minnesota. So hopefully they'll be able to get it done tonight. Force this team to be a jump shooting team. They don't want to do that. They want to score. They want to get right inside. Let them take long threes. This is one of those games where you don't need to close out as hard. And if you do run them off the three-point line, which, again, you still should, you need to try and funnel them into Davis and Cousins, who can do the work down low for you. But right now, if they start off cold, let them shoot threes if they want to. If they get hot, then close out a little bit harder, defend that a little bit better. But this is one of those rare games where I say, don't worry too much about it. I think they'll be okay when it comes to that, you know, perimeter defense, which also has been just much better as the season's gone on. So before I end the podcast here, do want to give you guys all a shout out for something coming up this Friday, December 1st, and that's going to be the local indie rock band Vox and the Hound. You guys know them as the band that does the intro and outro music here for me on Locked On Pelicans, but also Rory Calais is one of the writers over at LockedOnPelicans.com, which you should all have bookmarked and be checking out daily, because we've got some great content over there. But this coming Friday, December 1st at the Hi-Ho Lounge, 10 p.m., you've got Rotary Downs, Vox and the Hound coming on second, and then Metronome the City. And it's going to be a great show. I'm going to hopefully be able to make it for that, since that's right in my neighborhood and I've almost got no excuse, though I don't know what I have planned for Friday night yet. But it's going to be a lot of fun if you're there. I've seen them a bunch of times. They are a great show. That is a tremendous bill. It's going to be a great time. So get out, support local music. That is always a very important thing. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Game day here in the Crescent City, so make sure you watch it, tune in, make it to the game. I will be there as always. It should be a lot of fun. Don't forget, like, subscribe, and rate the podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. I'll be back with you all tomorrow to recap the game.